Good evening, family. Good evening, family, and welcome. I'd like to say hello and thank you for joining us for another session of New Pollen. And tonight we are supposed to continue on with our scripture, Romans chapter 12. And that's exactly what we're going to do. But I'm pulling up to see what questions and concerns that I have from some of the other individuals that have been communicating with me throughout the week. And one of them wanted to discuss how God uses vengeance to repay individuals for things or problems that may be occurring in their life because, you know, they were saying, well, God is always good, God is love, and God always looks out for his people. But is there ever a time that God gets angry? He gets angry with people that do the right thing, and he gets angry with people that do the wrong thing. So we'll pick that up on another day because I think that's an excellent question, and I gave them an answer independently, but I'd love to welcome you. So shoot me an email and let me know if that's something you'd like to delve into as well. And if so, then we'll move that forward. If not, let's continue on. Romans chapter 12. So let's move on down now. We're at verse 5. So, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts discerning according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophetic, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, we're going back a little bit now. What we mean here when it says, so we being many in one body in Christ means just what it says. When you're in a church, you've got many different individuals who are there. And, of course, we know the church is a hospital. Everyone there is sick. And I guess the misconception is that, you know, we're all perfect, but we're not. You know, from the head of the church down to the lowest member, the smallest member, even the littlest child, we're all sick or we wouldn't be there. The church is a hospital, and that hospital is where we come to get deliverance. And when you talk to me in my smaller circles, I'll let you know I have a psychiatrist, and his name is God, and I am on his sofa every day. I am on the sofa with God, analyzing me, listening to his instruction, getting baptized and everything. For he says, do not despise the chastisement of God, because if he doesn't chastise you, then you're a bastard. And if you're a bastard, then you're not his son. So I'm so grateful to know that he loves me enough to discipline me. And oh boy, does he chase me sore. So when they talk about us being many in one body, they're talking about the church, and they talk about how each one of us has a different gift. All of us have a different ministry, so it's no need to pull on one person or another or despise another person for their gift that they bring to the body, not even to despise them for the way they look, the way they dress, the way they talk, walk, or their confidence in God or their lack thereof, because if you do that, that's covetousness. So you can covet your neighbor and you can covet a church person. You can even covet somebody in your family. Do you know brothers and sisters can covet each other? Even a husband and a wife can covet each other. You could be envious of anything that that person had and you don't. And you can either strive to make yourself better or you can strive to tear them down. So whichever one you decide to do, God will be the judge of it. But when it says that we are one in this body together, what they're talking about is simply we all have something left to give. We all have something to add to the gift of the church and the gift of the world. Now, when we move down a little bit more, it talks about the grace of God, that all of us have these in particular gifts, but they didn't come just because we look good or just because we went to school. There are many people who have gone to school 8, 9, 10 years. There are many people who are doctors who are supposed to be professionals, and they are just not good. It is not their gift. You can go for all the training in the world, and it will not make that your gift. What makes you special and exceptional at what you do, whether it's in church or out of the church, is the grace of God.
It's because of his mercy, and he pours out his wisdom to you in a certain area. Or as the scripture would say, to whom much is given, much is required. So when he gives you these talents and these gifts, he gives it to you for you to pour it back into the community, for you to pour it back on your job, for you to pour it back in your church, for you to pour it back in your family. Not have these gifts and just keep them to yourself. Because if you do that, then what he'll do is he'll take it from you. Or you'll be like the guy who he gave the talents to. And then when he came back, the others that he gave the five talents to had multiplied. And they did really well with what God gave them. But then the individual that took his and buried it, or took his and went home and just chilled and never used it and never offered to help anybody, God turned his mind over to reprobation, and he was not able to use the things that he thought he could do. So we don't want to be like that. So we continue to press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Then it says, it goes into each individual gift that we have: prophesying, teaching, ministering, exhorting, giving, serving, and all of those things. It goes into a deeper revelation as to what your role is. When I got to the part that says, let us wait on our ministering, and that's so important. You know, I've been in my church, First Apostolic, my entire life, for as long as I can remember. And people who I grew up with are not only ministers, but they're elders. Some of them have their own churches other places. But I did not come out until 2013. And I did not profess myself to be a full-fledged minister and be ordained for it. Even when we lived in Okinawa, I did not serve an office in my church. And the pastors there ask, you know, Pastor Manuel, Sister Manuel said, you all aren't deacons or ministers. You know, and they were very inquisitive as to why I did not have a title with all of the gifts that God had given me and all of the things that I was capable of doing and able to do and wanted to do willingly. Well, that scripture right there tells you, it says wait, because the sooner you get in, the sooner the enemy attacks. I've gone through so much H-E double hockey sticks since I got that little card that says I'm a minister. My goodness. Before then, I just did not have it like this. It seems like all hell just opened up and came out and said, well, let's test what you got inside of you. So you wait on it, because God has to perfect you. And each and everything that you go through in life will make you or break you when it comes to ministering. Next week, beloved family, we'll talk some more about each one of these individual gifts. We'll pick back up with verse number 6, and we'll go all the way to 8, because it talks about each facet of the ministry and what your responsibility is. To recap, we did Romans chapter 12 tonight, verses 5 through 8, and I'll talk to you again on next Thursday. Until then, continue to love one another, and may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now and forevermore. Pollinate someone with what you've learned tonight. Love you, family. Bye-bye.